98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Burns and Gambo, the 4 o'clock reset. 4 o'clock reset.
The top stories of the day presented to you at 4 o'clock every day here on the Burns and Gambo show. We start with the Arizona Cardinals. Ezekiel Turner, special teams ace, has signed his one-year tender with the Arizona Cardinals, so he'll be back next year.
Yeah, one of those guys that, you know, made the roster on one of the last days and has just been a solid player for them ever since, a guy they really liked and valuable special teams player that they could not afford to lose.
Yeah, 44 games, one start. He has 43 special teams tackles. Last year he played in all 16 games, and he matched the team high with 15 special teams tackles. He also blocked two punts. So, yeah, he's one of those guys that help you win football games, even though he's just, if that's the word you want to use, a special teamer. The Coyotes, huge win over the weekend. They beat the Blues when they were down 2-0, rallied to win 3-2. Tonight, they will look to build upon that when they face the Wild in Glendale.
Yeah, they're going to be without Tyler Pitlick, one of their top penalty kill guys. He got hurt. He didn't play those last 6-7 minutes of the game against the Blues, but he's really that top penalty kill guy, and they're going to be without him tonight. I expect Hayden will play. Kemper will be in goal as they try to get a win against Minnesota and try to keep this thing going.
Yeah, the Coyotes, with their win, retake the lead for the last playoff spot in the West over the Blues by 1 point. The bad news is that the Blues have two more games to play than the Coyotes have left on their schedule.
Yes.
But then the good news for the Coyotes is that the Blues' schedule much tougher than the Coyotes down the stretch.
Just brutal.
All things to consider.
It's a brutal schedule, and the Coyotes' schedule is going to get easier after this series against Minnesota. They got a few games against L.A. and San Jose, teams that they've had a lot of success against this year.
Former ASU basketball player Holland Woods has announced that, like former Sun Devil teammate Tayshaun Cherry, he'll be transferring to GCU.
Ooh, man.
Former Sun Devils.
GCU.
Headed across town to the Lopes.
Could get back into the NCAA tournament again 2 years in a row. I mean, it's solid for them, right? They get some big-time ASU recruits that just weren't working out, that they want to change. So many guys in the transfer portal. But now we're seeing guys go to GCU, from ASU to GCU. I don't really remember that before.
Our buddy Chris Cartman at Sun Devil Source speculated that Bobby Hurley might have as many as 10 new basketball players on his roster next year. I mean, just a complete reshuffle of the deck.
It's like 1,000 kids in the transfer portal, man. So many kids want to transfer. It's crazy.
Quarterback Trey Lance had his second pro day today in Fargo, North Dakota, with a heavy, heavy influence from the team that has the third pick in the draft, the 49ers.
If a decision had been made, then there's no reason for them to be going through this exercise, which tells me that they not only haven't decided on Mac Jones, but that the absolute advantage in this scenario is to Lance. It is his spot to lose.
Basically, through the quarterback's coach that was running the pro day today, 49ers and Kyle Shanahan have a connection with that quarterback's coach. So they basically dictated what Trey Lance was going to do. And you could argue Trey Lance only held this pro day
for the 49ers,
for the benefit of the 49ers, because the one he had before was before the Niners moved up to number three. Today was his audition for San Francisco.
Do you know if the 49ers were there the first one?
I don't think they were.
Oh, okay. And now that they're, okay, hey, we need a better look at you, we may take you number three.
Yeah.
So is it a smokescreen? Or, like, there's no reason to have a smokescreen.
They don't need a smokescreen.
Right, they don't need a smokescreen. They have, like, it's Wilson's going two, Trevor Lawrence is going one. What are you smokescreening?
Yeah.
You're gonna take whichever quarterback you like the best.
Yep, so something very interesting with the draft, the first round, 10 days away. And Alex Smith announced his retirement from the NFL today, the quarterback who came back from that gruesome leg injury, one of the best comebacks you'll see in this league, said he considered signing with the Jags.
I gave that a lot of thought. I took a trip to Jacksonville and checked it out, and I left there so excited about what Coach Meyer has going and what he's building and his vision and the culture that he's going to bring. And that definitely did excite me. But, I wanted to do my due diligence, even though I was leaning towards retirement. And I wanted to marinate in it a little bit. I wanted to see what was out there. And I'm happy I did. But, no, I am ready.
Did you see the
good
Instagram
career
video he sent out?
I did not see that.
It was touching. It was just about a 2 minute video of everything he had to go through to get back to this point. A good NFL career for Alex Smith.
You know, and I'll just quick story. I'll always remember this, and we were pre-recording it. But one of my favorite stories is, you know, we were working with local groups out working out all the when he was a senior at Utah. Or junior, whatever it was, and he was coming out for the draft. We had somebody arrange, hey, you got to have Alex Smith on your show. It was me and Ash at the time. And get ready. We were pre-recording, and Ash is like, all right, and coming up now could be the number one pick, the quarterback out of Utah, Alex Smith. And the guy goes, I'm Alex Smith, the tight end from Stanford, who got drafted. Right? And he's like, I understand if you guys don't want to do the interview. And I go, oh, well, cool, we'll do it anyway. So it's one of those things that it wasn't live, but yeah. It was one of my it's one of my favorite memories of Alex Smith.
That is, always makes me laugh when I hear that story. But our top story of the day today comes to us from the Phoenix Suns, who begin a brutal, brutal stretch of games, seven games against some of the very best teams in the NBA. And included in those seven games are five straight on the road, which will take them to Brooklyn and New York and Philly and Boston, and tonight's opponent, the Milwaukee Bucks. A 5 o'clock tip time that can be heard on ESPN 620, the third best record in the Eastern Conference, and the Phoenix Suns coming off of a game on Saturday night where, you said it best, they just didn't look like they wanted to be there at all.
No,
they had no interest in playing that game whatsoever, and now the question of fatigue has cropped up and whether Monty needs to start resting guys or not.
You know, we talked about boredom, right? Are they bored? I mean, because they would get these leads up to 15, 18, 20 points, and the other team would make a comeback, and you would question that. Are they just bored? That was my first thought, is they are bored. But now you bring up start to look at the three-point shot, especially with Booker missing these shots, and you question, okay, are they tired? Are they tired? Is it boredom? Is it tired? Like, what is it? And you know, you see the Spurs resting guys, the Jazz resting guys, and the Suns haven't really rested anybody. And you do get to the point where it's a fair question.
Oh, yeah.
Should the Suns rest players? Is it time to maybe give some guys a day off? Because not only is it a good break physically, it's a good break mentally. Hey, don't worry about it. You're not playing tomorrow. Don't have to think about it. You don't have to go through walkthrough. You don't have to do anything. You get the mental break tonight and tomorrow by not playing.
Monty was asked about it yesterday, and he said a couple of things. He said, number one, we don't think about it that much because we're such a young team. The only guy I would consider doing it for is Chris Paul, and Chris Paul hasn't asked. Chris Paul wouldn't want it, even if I gave it to him. Chris Paul, if he's healthy, he wants to play. He also was asked about the rhythm and whether they would break rhythm by playing. Guys, look, we're trying to get in the playoffs. That's the first thing we're worried about. Now, you looked it up, and I think you're right. If the Suns haven't officially clinched the playoff spot, they're a game or two away from clinching the playoff spot.
I think they have, because the 11th best team right now is New Orleans. The Suns have a tiebreaker over New Orleans. There's 16 games left, and there's 16 games up on them. So I believe that the Suns have clinched a playoff spot. I believe that they have when you look at how many games are left and how many games they are separating them and the 11th best team. The 11th best team can't catch them. So they are in, which, look, we know they're in, so it doesn't mean anything.
Yeah.
It hasn't been, like, officially announced.
No, you're right. It doesn't really mean anything at all. We all know. We all have half a brain. We all know they're in. They're obviously going to go to the playoffs at this point, whether they've clinched or not, whether there's an X next to their name in the standings or not. We know they're in. It's just a question of how best to prepare yourself. Now, you and I, this is the subject of our poll question today. You and I disagree, though we certainly see the pros and cons to both sides of the argument. You believe maybe a selective rest would be good for some of the guys at this point.
Yes.
And I'm of the belief that you think about it after this push. You know, these five games or these seven games, reassess, see where you're at, see how the guys are playing at that moment, and then maybe think about resting guys when you've got 11 games left in the season, 10 games left in the season, something like that. But I concede, depending on how they start this road trip, if they come out looking as fatigued as they did on Saturday night, you might have to start thinking about,
that's a good call.
Hey, Devin Booker, we're just going to give you a night off, man. You just look like you could use a rest. You look like
you sacrifice a couple of games here to make sure that these guys are, you know.
Or if you're as deep as you say you are, can you win a game even though you're sitting Devin Booker for a night?
The Spurs sat Portal and DeRozan and Patty Mills. Yeah. And they beat the Suns. So it's a chance. Like, they have a good bench. You know, they have a good bench. They've won games without Devin Booker before, and they could do it again. So I'm in favor of it, but I think I'm like you. I think play it by ear. Let's play it by eye. Let's see what happens tonight. Let's see what happens again. If you feel like your team is starting to like hit a little bit of a wall, then yes, you have to think about it.
It was by far his best start of the season. Is Madison Bumgarner back? On his way back? Should we be prepared for a regression? All the possibilities with Mad Bum covered next on the Burns and Gambo Show. Diamondbacks beat the Nationals yesterday 5-2. A nice split in that series, I thought. You know, there haven't been a ton of highlights so far.
That's
a pretty good split, I think, for the Diamondbacks on the road.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, you're trying to, obviously, just hang around as long as you can. I'm excited about a couple of things. One, I am excited about J.B. Buskoskis coming up. So they've got him. I think he could be a real solid reliever for them. I am glad that he came up. You know, Clipper's going to be out for a while. They gave some other guys opportunities, and those guys just didn't deliver. They actually sent back Senback. You know, Swarzak got sent back.
Swarzak, Anthony.
Yeah, Swarzak.
Anthony got sent back.
Send him back to wherever he came from. They did. They sent him back to wherever he came from. I don't even care where it is.
Like an Amazon package,
yes.
Right? They just dropped him off in one of those Amazon lockers at a Circle K somewhere.
Yeah, so okay, he was a disaster. My God, I hope I never see that guy pitch again. Nothing personal, but man, you were terrible.
Yeah.
So, you know, getting J.B. Buskoskis up, I think that's big. Obviously, the positives with the split. I think that the split was good. Carson Kelly with a home run. Rojas with a home run yesterday. There were some positive signs coming out of the split. So, you're on the road. You get a four-game series. You're happy not to lose it.
Yeah, I mean, there was a little bit of a dead zone in between the Thursday night grand slam by Andrew Young until Sunday when the offense kind of warmed back up again, right? I mean, you had the Friday night game where Max Scherzer just absolutely stuck it to the Arizona.
That was a great pitcher's duel.
And that really was.
It really was.
And Widener pitched very, very well in that
sensational
game.
Sensational.
That was very encouraging. But then the offense was missing in action on Saturday morning as well. There wasn't much to speak of there. But obviously, if we're talking Diamondbacks, the thing that stands is Madison Bumgarner's performance yesterday, in which he went 5 innings, 2 hits, 1 run, 5 strikeouts, 1 walk. He lowered his ERA from 11.2 to 8.6, 8.7 when it was all said and done. It was so far from perfect. There were many, many things to not like about how Madison Bumgarner pitched yesterday. Of that, there is no doubt. It's got to be a giant relief for him and them that he got out there
unscathed
and got some results, right? Something
100%.
That you can hang your hat on at the end of the day and build towards your next start. Whether he carries it over or not, I don't know. But that had to be a huge relief for him.
Yeah, of course it is. I mean, he got 5, and I think Lovello did the right thing, right? Taking him out after 80 pitches, 5 innings. Listen, you're coming out of here with positives. We need something to build on. You leave him in one more inning. If he gives up 2 runs, then you feel like, so I think he did the right thing, taking him out after only 80 pitches. Something to build on, something to work on. His next start's going to be a much more difficult start. He's going to be on the road against the Atlanta Braves with a very good offense. Yeah. Acuna's day-to-day, but if he's back by then, which he might be, I mean, that's a tough offense. It's a very good baseball team, very good offensive team. I'm not ready to, like, you know, one game is not the be-all end-all. I mean,
game,
we're not.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a good step. It's a good sign. But can he build on that? Can he go out against the Braves and shut them down?
Yeah, I'm not ready after one. It'd be irresponsible after one start. It would be, not only would you be drinking the Kool-Aid, you'd be, like, installing a tap in your den that served nothing but Kool-Aid. If you were going to go, oh, yeah, he's fine. Everything's okay. Great. Hey, Mad Bum's back. Woo! You know, it'd be irresponsible to do that after one start, especially if you watched yesterday's start. Man, he was falling behind everybody.
He was on a lot of 3-2 counts early. He got behind everybody. I think 10 out of the first 15 batters, he was behind on the count. So that's one thing. He did have the 1-2-3 inning in the second and in the fourth. But, man, he had, you know, he
loud contact, deep fly balls.
No ground outs. And that's like, there's something. Okay, if you want to read between the lines a little bit, look at that start. He didn't get one ground ball out, not one. Everything was in the air. There were some balls hit to the warning track. So, you know, he had the ball up in the zone. When the ball's up in the zone, you get a lot of contact with it. They're hitting fly balls. So a lot of the outs outside of the strikeouts were all fly outs, no ground ball out. So, you know, that's something to look at, too. But the bottom line is 5 innings, 1 run allowed. He got the win. You want more, and you more than anything, you want consistency. I don't know that I'm looking for, you know, 7-8 innings every time out. I'm just looking for, can he get you 6? Can he keep you in the game? Can he not get blown out after the 4th inning? And we'll see if he could build off of that or if this is just like an aberration.
Yeah, and his next start will go a long way towards if he can duplicate these results, then maybe we'll – again, it's the, we're not drinking Kool-Aid, but we might think he's one step closer. At this point, based off of what I saw yesterday, I might actually be more inclined to think he's going to take a step back again than he's going to take another step forward, because it just felt like – he was kind of one pitch away from things getting real sideways on him yesterday, but it never really happened. He was asked if he did anything different between starts. Here's what he said.
Not really anything like physical. You know, a little bit. I've changed so much in between each one. So there's been, I've tried a lot of stuff, a lot of different stuff. So I don't know that it's really so much one little thing to point the finger at. There's been a lot of stuff. So, and I don't feel like we're by no means there yet, but it's nice to see it transition the way that I want it to go.
And I'll tell you the one thing I'm kind of uncomfortable with too.
Yeah.
How much he's arguing with the umpires.
Yeah. You've said that.
So
what's your concern with that? That he's just not locked in, that it's just, it's a distraction.
Yeah.
To him?
My concern is that, much like Devin Booker and how he argues, I think, sometimes too much with NBA referees, and it can kind of take him out of his game a little bit. I worry that Madison Bumgarner does the same thing with the umpires, and he's spending too much time.
You saw it yesterday when he was at bat. He struck out on a pitch that was very close, and he started arguing. Now, later on, there was a pitch that, you know, he got that was very close, and I think Berthiaume might have said, hey, it might be a makeup call,
yeah,
you know, for Mad Bum. So is part of that him just trying to work the umps to get his... you know, to get the calls to go his way? I don't know. But you're definitely right. He's definitely arguing more than he ever has before that we've ever seen him argue.
I wouldn't call it a major problem. It's just one of those things that...
Are you distracted?
Yeah, because you've got bigger fish to fry than the guy behind home plate.
Yeah.
And I understand you're reliant on the guy behind home plate to help you do your job, but you spend so much time focusing on him and the calls that you are or are not getting back there. Focus on you, you know, and don't worry so much about it. That's the only thing that concerns me about it, because he does seem like he has been way, way, way dialed in to arguing with that umpire back. He even joked that he thinks he leads the league in umpire confrontations this year. I don't want Madison Bumgarner leading the league in umpire confrontations this year.
No, because I think you could lose focus. If you are constantly... You throw a 3-2 pitch and they call it a ball, and man, can it get you off your game? Can you be thinking about that as you're going through, right? You got to block that out. You got to move on. You're not going to get all the calls. So it's definitely something to keep your eye on with Mad Bum.
The Arizona Cardinals have used 2 of their previous 4 first-round selections on a linebacker. Do they have a need to draft another if one specific player is still on the board with the 18th pick, with the 16th pick, I should say? That's next on the Burns and Gambo Show. It was literally 50-50 the last time we saw it. Have the numbers changed on our Twitter poll question of the day? Let's go to Sarah and find out.
Burns and Gambo need to know Twitter poll update, presented by Sanderson Ford.
It's on Twitter, at Burns and Gambo. One word is where you can find it. Sarah does an outstanding job managing our account during our show hours from 2 until 6, and she's got our poll question today. What do you got? What are you cooking with today, Sarah?
Okay, so it's not still an exact 50-50 split, but it's pretty dang close.
Okay.
So the question is, looking back at the Suns and how they performed against the Spurs on Saturday, we're asking, does Monty Williams need to start selectively resting his players or dipping into load management? Yes, because the players are clearly pooped out. Or no, because there is still a lot for this team to achieve, still a lot for this team to work on.
Ooh, Gambo's got the look of a man who might change his vote.
I think you got to rest them. I mean, I think that, you know, I think this, you know, I think we're overemphasizing the playoff seeding, because we're just like, I think we are. I think we're overemphasizing and worried too much about something we have no control over. You know, now you can say, well, you control it if you play every game. But you know what? I think the most important thing is, and like the number one most important thing is to go into the playoffs healthy and have your guys fresh. That's number one.
That's fair.
And listen, to win an NBA championship, you're going to have to beat some combination of the Lakers, Clippers, and Jazz anyway.
Yeah.
So, like, am I really worried about, like, trying to manufacture who I'm going to play by, you know, going, I don't want to go all out, burn myself out, and all of a sudden I got nothing left for the playoffs.
Okay,
so I think this is a really great topic.
That's fair. I think this is a really good topic, too. I do still think the 2 seed is something to try to achieve over the number 3 seed, given who you might play if you can hold on to that spot. But I agree that you don't want to go nuts about it. My answer is no. I'm not resting guys yet. You're going through the most brutal part of what's left of your schedule. Let's ride this out a little longer, see how you do, play it game to game, kind of week to week, and then maybe a week from now, see where you're at and possibly reassess. But for now, no, I don't rest anybody just yet. What's our audience say on this one?
Okay, like I said, very close, but currently 51.3% say no, don't strategically rest players yet. There's still a lot for this team to work on.
Okay.
48.7% said yes.
It's pretty split.
It's
one of the closest polls we've had in a long time.
This is a model poll question.
Now, it is, right?
This is what we're looking for.
This is exactly what we want. Yeah.
I will say this, if they had beaten the Spurs, it wouldn't be as close.
You're totally correct.
But they lost to the Spurs, who are resting 3 guys.
Yes.
Which makes you think, okay, are they, you know, are they kind of burnt out?
Losing some steam here. Yeah.
That Spurs game is like the inception moment that kind of planted the seed in your mind, like, ooh, you know what? Devin Booker might need a day off, you know? Chris Paul might need it, because Devin Booker his shot looks kind of flat right now. He looks kind of flat offensively. He hasn't been the same guy the last 4, 5, 6 games, depending on how far you want to go back. The poll question can be found, Burns and Gambo, at Burns and Gambo on Twitter is where you can find that. Turning our attention to the NFL draft, Gambo will make his choice in the ultimate mock draft of the Miami Dolphins coming up.
I'm ready.
In a few minutes. Not yet, but in a few minutes. I saw this mock draft, Gambo, and I thought of you because this is I'm calling it the Micah Parsons mock, because this athletic mock draft from the Athletic website paints a very interesting scenario, as far as I'm concerned, for the Cardinals sitting at 16. The 3 wide receivers, they're gone. The 2 cornerbacks, J.C. Horn and Patrick Surtain, are gone by the time the Cardinals pick. Caleb Farley's still there, but we think he's slipping. Elijah Vera Tucker is gone when the Cardinals pick at 16.
Okay.
What do you do then? Now, The Athletic, the guy who is doing this mock draft, thinks it's going to be Greg Newsome. I, listening to you, know better. I don't think it's going to be Greg
Newsome. It will
not
be Greg Newsome at 16.
This is the Micah Parsons is there.
Okay.
Do you take him or do you not mock draft?
Who else is there? You know, I do think, and I'll probably at some point this week talk about a wide receiver that's not one of the top 3 guys that I think could be the pick at 16 if all 3 wide receivers are gone. So if Waddle is gone and Chase is gone and Devontae Smith is gone, I do believe that there's another receiver out there that they could go with at 16 and be okay with that. Now, trying to figure out if Vera Tuck is there and that wide receiver is there, where do they go? Or if Micah Parsons is there and that wide receiver is there. You know, that stuff I don't know yet, but I do think that at some point this week I will talk about a wide receiver that hasn't been talked about a whole lot that could be there at 16 and could be a play for them if Vera Tucker is gone. Now, if Parsons is there, would they go him over the wide receiver? I don't know, but it's going to be interesting to see.
The Micah Parsons thing, it's just so interesting because in 2 of the last 4 drafts,
yes,
they have taken kind of an off-the-ball linebacker in, you know, Isaiah Simmons a year ago, Hassan Reddick 4 years ago. Hassan Reddick didn't really work up until last year. Isaiah Simmons is still very much a work in progress. Micah Parsons is considered a freak. NFL.com, Jordan sent me a story earlier today in which they listed the guys that their next-gen stats say are can't-miss prospects. Micah Parsons is one of them. Let me play his draft profile. It's going to sound familiar. It's going to sound like guys that we've talked about before with the Cardinals that they've drafted
in the last half decade or so. Do you really want to go to this well one more time?
Micah Parsons, linebacker, Penn State.
At 6'3", 245, Parsons has the foot quickness along with elite range with burst and speed rarely seen at linebacker. In 2019, Parsons led Penn State in tackles and tied for fourth in the FBS with four forced fumbles. He was praised inside Penn State's program for his highly competitive nature. He was named the conference's linebacker of the year in 2019, but opted out in 2020, citing concerns about COVID-19. NFL comp, Jaguars linebacker, Miles Jack.
Can I make another suggestion
to you?
Yeah,
go ahead.
You talked earlier about the tough part about being at 16 is that sometimes you're not in a great position to trade because there's not a great player there to trade up for.
Yeah, it's hard at the right, but it's also hard to trade down too.
Is Micah Parsons that guy? Is Micah Parsons
is that somebody might trade up for?
Uh-huh.
Top linebacker in the draft?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, maybe.
Uh-huh.
I mean, maybe.
Because you were saying that, I'm like, okay, I'm going to sit on that and not say anything now when you said this like 45 minutes ago or whatever. Because I thought when we talk about Micah Parsons, maybe that's the guy that if he is there at 16.
That somebody might make a call?
That somebody might look and go, oh my God, I got to have that guy. I got to have that guy because.
Sideline to sideline linebacker who could rush the passer, best linebacker in the draft.
Yeah, I don't remember where I read it. And maybe it was just draft, what does Wolfley like to call it, subterfuge? Maybe it was just draft subterfuge. But I read somewhere that John Gruden would love himself some Micah Parsons. So if you see that he's there at 16 and you know he's not getting past 17, which is where the Raiders are picking, do you call the Cardinals and say, hey, Micah Parsons is on the board. We'll give you the 21st pick in the draft and an extra second rounder to move up to 16 to take your guy, to take Micah Parsons, and you can move down.
It'd be hard to pass on that, especially if you feel like there's a couple players you really like that could be there at 21.
Mm-hmm.
If there's a wide receiver there that you really like that could be there at 21, could you, you know, instead of taking Parsons, still get that wide receiver and add an extra pick? Sure,
mm-hmm.
Sure, you keep your eye on that.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd have to look at how many times somebody's moved up for a linebacker in the middle of the draft, but I mean, I don't know. I mean,
I don't know
either. How
often
has somebody moved up from the 20s to the
especially for
middle of 15, 16 to get a linebacker?
For a projected middle linebacker who certainly has pass rushing skills. I mean, he's a freak athlete. It's not like he's a classic middle linebacker. He's a guy who can go sideline to sideline and certainly has the athleticism to go after the quarterback. But he projects as a middle linebacker in this league. I just wonder if he's the guy that if he has some sort of a slide because of whatever, that some team looks at him and, man, he's just too good for me not to go get. Because if I'm sitting down here at 19, 20, 21, he's not making it to me. So I have to get aggressive and go get him. I wonder if he's the type of player that allows the Cardinals to bait the hook a little bit and say, hey, come get him. Give me, because remember, the Cardinals, after the second round, they don't have another pick until the fifth.
Yeah, that's a long way to wait.
They go 111 picks before they make another selection after
the
second rounder. They're
going to lose their minds waiting that long.
Yep.
There's going to be so many players they like that they're going to be, oh, my God, I just wish I had that pick. Oh, my God, that guy's got, you know, so many players that if they had a pick in that middle, in somewhere in the middle of that, they'd be able to get a guy.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, I can see that. I mean, look, if they can move up for Pitts, I think they'll look at it for sure. If they can't, you know, the chances of them staying where they are, I think, are high. But it's something to look at with somebody. Is somebody going to love somebody at 16 where they'd be willing to give up a third round pick to move up four or five spots?
Yeah, just something to consider as the draft, the first round, 10 days away. Not only did he wow the scouts and coaches in attendance at his pro day, he did it using a blueprint given to him by the team with the third pick in the NFL draft, the 49ers. So does it mean that Trey Lance is now a favorite to be selected by the 49ers? Plus, Gambo and the Dolphins on the clock in our ultimate mock draft. That's next on the Burns and Gambo Show.
Previously on the Arizona Sports Ultimate Mock Draft.
The pick is in. Let's go to the podium and see what they're going to do here.
With the first pick of the 2021 Arizona Sports Ultimate Mock Draft, the Jacksonville Jaguars select Trevor Lawrence, quarterback, Clemson.
With the second pick of the 2021 Arizona Sports Ultimate Mock Draft, the New York Jets select Zach Wilson, quarterback BYU.
With the third pick in the Arizona Sports Ultimate Mock Draft, the San Francisco 49ers select Justin Fields, quarterback, Ohio State.
With the fourth overall pick in the Arizona Sports Ultimate Mock Draft, the Atlanta Falcons select Kyle Pitts, tight end from the University of Florida.
With the fifth pick in the 98.7 FM Arizona Sports Station Ultimate Mock Draft, the Cincinnati Bengals select Penei Sewell, offensive tackle, Oregon. There you go. Here's a recap up until this point of our Ultimate Mock Draft here on 98.7 FM Arizona Sports Station. All the hosts getting in on it, starting this morning with Doug and Wolf and Bickley and Murata and then Burns and Gambo. And it is now Gambo's turn representing the Miami Dolphins. So unless you've got anything you want to say, Gambo,
I'm just waiting for the phone, see if there's, you know, I get 5 minutes here. I'm going to take every second. Check back with me at 4:52.
So we've got to stall for 4 minutes while you're waiting for
Doug, Wolf, Vinny, Bick. Anybody?
Let's cut to an interview with Susie Colburn while he continues to continue to field phone calls.
All right. Are you ready?
Susie's standing by with Penei Sewell to talk about being selected by the Bengals. Now, let's put Gambo and the Miami Dolphins on the clock.
The Arizona Sports Ultimate Mock Draft.
Ultimate Mock Draft.
Burns and Gambo are on the clock.
Now, I do think in real life, Miami's going to get some calls here, and I'm kind of surprised that some of the quarterback needy teams out there aren't calling you right now in this exercise to try to get you to trade out.
I'm surprised, too. There's been a lot of rumors that Miami could move again, you know, with that sixth pick, but right now the Miami Dolphins have decided to hold on to the pick, and with the sixth pick in the NFL draft, the Miami Dolphins choose wide receiver Ja'Marr Chase, LSU.
Boom. Ja'Marr Chase, wide receiver, LSU.
Chase has an incredible mixture of quickness and strength. He's an outstanding route runner, even though he often has to fight through contact before he gets into those routes. Chase has very reliable hands and is able to come down with the ball frequently on contested catches. While Chase doesn't have the elite height for a receiver and has experienced some drops, he's very close to a sure thing. NFL comp, former Cardinals receiver Anquan Boldin.
I like that pick. Like that
it's
pick.
It's a good pick for Tua to get him another weapon out there. So, I mean, Miami could have obviously traded that pick, but they get the number one wide receiver in this draft in Ja'Marr Chase. It's a deep draft for wide receivers, but they get the guy genuinely regarded as the best wide receiver, dynamic player, give Tua a major weapon on the outside.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Now, in real life, there are reports, and you alluded to it earlier, Ian Rappaport tweeted out that the Dolphins, who have already made two moves in the NFL draft. Remember, they were at number 3. They moved down to 12. They moved back up to 6. That's already happened. Rappaport is reporting, according to sources, the Dolphins have gotten calls from teams looking to trade up to number 6, and it is something that they are considering. A lot of things in play, but Miami could be at it again. And all I can hear when I see, a couple things I hear when I see that. Number one, Kyle Pitts, and would he be there at number 6? And you'd probably have to wait until the draft to know for sure. And number two, the quarterbacks. Because if our mock draft is any indication of how this thing is going to go, Trey Lance is still there. Mac Jones is still there.
Yeah.
I mean, we've only had three quarterbacks.
Well, that would be a surprise, wouldn't it?
That there would be only three quarterbacks in the first 6 picks? Yes.
Yeah. So I think Vinny shook up the whole draft, right? He didn't take a quarterback to replace Matt Ryan, and he didn't trade with anybody. So that was the spot we thought a quarterback could have went. Cincinnati, you just decided to take the number one offensive lineman on the board and get Joe Burrow some help. Okay, and then I'm at Miami. I don't trade with anybody. And I don't take a quarterback either. I go with a wide receiver saying, I'm going to stick with Tua. Because if I would have taken a quarterback, I might have stayed where I was and not traded down to 6.
If Doug, Wolf,
Bickley, Vince, if they had called you, would you have looked to move out of that spot and get maybe one of the other wide receivers a couple of spots lower in this draft?
Sure.
Okay.
I mean, I could have done that. I could have moved down a little bit, added another pick, and got one of the top. You know, there's three great wide receivers. I think they get the best one at that spot, so I think that they get the number one wide receiver. But yeah, I think you got to be tempted to add extra picks and see, you know, more swings of the bat, as we always talk about.
Because you could have potentially gotten a call from Wolf. He's drafting for Carolina tomorrow. He might have called to try to move up to six to get his quarterback of the future. There are rumors that Denver might be looking to move up in this draft to get a quarterback, possibly. That's Bickley's pick tomorrow in the 11 o'clock hour. New England, Bickley on Wednesday in the 11 o'clock hour. That, if I'm Dan, I'm not trying to tell Dan his business, but if I'm Dan, I'm on the phone right now with Doug tomorrow at 7 a.m. trying to maybe move up into that spot. Or Wolf tomorrow at number 8 trying to move up to that spot to see if I can get me a little Trey Lance to be my quarterback of the future, potentially in New England, or a Mac Jones type. I think you kind of have to, for this fun exercise, you kind of have to look ahead a little bit. And if you are the host who owns one of the teams that might want to move up in this draft and take a quarterback,
tomorrow's the day to do it.
Make a phone call. Pick up the phone. Give me a call. Give somebody a call. See if they're willing to move, because I think that's what's going to happen on draft night, I tend to think.
Yeah, I don't think, I mean, if we're talking pick 7 and two of the quarterbacks are still there, I think I'll be surprised. Because that is saying 4, 5, and 6 don't go quarterback and they don't trade with somebody that wants a quarterback. So we'll see how that plays out, because I think at least one of those quarterbacks are going to go at 4, 5, or 6 with somebody making a deal.
Speaking of Trey Lance, I want to get this out there real quick, because it is a division rival of the Cardinals, and there's now some intrigue about what they're going to do with the third pick in the draft. I think a lot of people just assumed it was going to be the Bama quarterback, Mac Jones, given the Chris Sims report and how everyone seemed to think they loved Mac Jones so much. The 49ers were extremely involved, according to many who were there, in the Trey Lance workout today. Trey Lance already had his pro day, the quarterback from North Dakota State, already had his pro day, but he had it before the Niners moved up to number 3, so he decided to have another one. The quarterback coach who organized the whole thing was John Beck. Kyle Shanahan coached Beck in Washington a decade ago, and apparently Lance went to work with Beck at Shanahan's request. And the Niners coaching staff gave Beck a list of drills. This is what we want him to do. Okay. That's what it,
so basically, this was totally for the 49ers.
Pretty much.
Nobody else needed to be there.
The Falcons were there. I think the Patriots were there too. Other
but
teams
it was dictated
were there.
By the 49ers.
Yeah.
Let's see if he can make these throws, okay?
Yeah.
All right.
And isn't that interesting for a team that the
49ers basically, not that they controlled the draft, because I think Atlanta controls the draft more than anybody else. Because that could be the first team that does not take a quarterback. But I think Atlanta controls the draft because they could go a lot of different directions. They could trade, or they could take Pitts, or they could do something else. So San Francisco's taking a quarterback. We just don't know which one it is. And it could be any of the three. There was a lot of belief that it was going to be Mac Jones, but I think now people are thinking Trey Lance, and there's still something to think it'd be Justin Fields.
Yeah. Join Ron Wolfley on the eve of the draft, the real draft, not this exercise we're doing right now, as the Cardinals get ready to make their first-round selection. Text the word DRAFT to 620-620. You'll get an invitation to the exclusive Arizona Sports Valley virtual draft experience featuring Wolf and other football guests. Again, text the word DRAFT. It's a 620-620. The Valley Virtual Series is presented by 72 Sold. Get your price. Phoenix Suns coming off one of their worst losses of the season, and now they're about to hit the road for a critical East Coast trip. What are our expectations for the next week of this schedule? That's next on the Burns and Gambo Show.